Monday the 27th of April, Gimel Iyar, Rabbi Bezalel Korn, Cultivating Our Hearts for Kabbalah Satova.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to come. I just listened to the halacha that was taught this morning, and I was thinking to myself, I wonder why you need to have anybody come from the outside to speak. You have Baruch Hashem, Talmidei Chachamim, who are quite capable right here in your midst. And, of course, the answer must be, I once heard of a gadol, like, I won't mention his name because I'm not sure about if this was the gadol's name, but one of the gadolim, one of the gadoli hador, and he was in line for a position in a particular community, but they turned him down. They didn't accept him. Afterwards, they bemoaned the fact that they hadn't accepted him because he was truly the gadol hador. At any rate, someone asked him subsequently, years later, says, a good friend of his, it must have been a relative, he said, why did they not pick you? I mean, look, all the kshalas are coming to you. You're the poizik hador. So why didn't they pick you in that community where you lived? And his response, it must have been on a Purim that he gave this answer, was a very, in a jovial mood, and he said to them, he said, you know, he says, when the Yidden were concerned about Moshe Rabbeinu, Am Yisrael's worship of Moshe Rabbeinu, Kiboshish Moshe, he didn't come down right away, according to their anticipation. And they came over to Aaron and they said, Lono, say Lono, make for us something that we can connect to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Say Lono, make something for us. Elohim, Elohim. And Aaron did what he could to avoid the bigger catastrophe. But the question remains, what did they need that for? They had Aaron. And the Teretz says, you're always looking for somebody on the other side of the fence. As long as it's from somewhere outside, from America, from another country, from another city, oh, this will be the one that we need to hear from. The emphasis is, you have right here, you have all that you need, and if you avail yourselves of each other's wisdom, then you will certainly benefit greatly from it. The topic for this morning is cultivating our hearts for Kabbalah Satorah. It's a very large topic, I admit, and it's a very general topic, and you can fit anything into it. I'd like to focus on something very specific. Beginning Pesach, we start to learn every Shabbos the Masechta of Avos, Pirkei Avos. Every shul does this. It's a minhag klal Yisrael already. And we learn about Masechta Avos, and we begin with the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba. So many interpretations, many explanations, and Ayin Panim LaTorah, of course, there will constantly be more and more understanding of the same statements and the same messages the Chazal give us. But recently, I came to see an understanding of Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek Lo Olam Haba to mean the following. A chelek is a piece of property. Torah tells us this in the beginning in Bereishis. You find that Nosati Chelkas Asoda Kach Mimeni. Refers to a lot. I don't know how you say it in England here, but in America it's a lot. A lot is a piece of land, a piece of property. But that doesn't say very much. You may own property, you may own taxes on it. You may want to get rid of the property. I know people who own a lot of property and they're just in terrible straits right now. They're trying to unload it as quickly as they can. Having the piece of property doesn't mean very much. Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom in Mishlei says, Al Sedei Ish Otze Lovarti, I passed by the field belonging to a lazy person. You look at the field, and what did he see? Kulo kimishoinim, it was full of thistles and thorns. The man was embarrassed to say that it was his property. So the same is true over here. Kol Yisrael yesh lohem chelek l'olam haba. We have that piece of property. We have it. The question is, what does it look like? Will it produce for us? Will it give us some benefit that we're trying so hard to achieve? And that's the task, that's the tafkid for B'nai Yisrael in this world, to be able to make something from that property, to bring something to fruition that we strive for all of our lives, to be able to have the bear the fruit in Olam Haba. They tell the story, and I believe it to be true, because I heard it from someone who didn't say it just as a maaseh, but told it as a truth. I think you remember, those of you who remember me from the last time I spoke, in my shul in Far Rockaway, I have a number of Yidden who came over from Russia. And in the city of Kiev, it's a big city, before the war, there was an industrialist, a wealthy industrialist. His last name was Brodsky. Don't remember his first name. It was Sroel, I think. His last name was Brod. Mr. Brodsky was an industrialist who owned a number of businesses, big factories. And he hired many people, and he saw to it that people would have parnosa. He was a great Baal Chesed. And every so often, maybe it was yearly, he would call everyone together, and he would hand out bonuses in appreciation for the wonderful work that they had done. But as he's handing out the bonus, of course, everybody's standing and waiting and listening to the reason for each bonus. So they all stood in line, and as they're coming by, he would say, "Yes, how do you do?" And the fellow would introduce himself, "I'm Mr. So-and-so, and I manage the production of the eggs in the south corner, and this year we had a wonderful production, we doubled our profits," and so on. Mr. Brodsky smiled at him and would hand him a bonus, and everyone would clap, everyone would cheer. And this is how it went every year. Among the people that he hired, of course, were sometimes individuals who were down on their luck. They could not do the work that they were hired to do. But he didn't care. He said, "Here, put them next to the machinery, put them next to that particular position, and just treat them well." And then when they came, at the end of the day, they would get their salary. And this is, he happened to have a relative who was in need, and he hired him. He said, "No problem, give him a job." Well, it came to bonus time at the end of the year, so they're all lined up, and this relative is in the line as well, a third cousin or what. And as each one goes by and introduces himself and lets him know who he is, and everyone cheers, when it comes turn for this relative, he introduces himself and says, "Oh, you remember me, I'm your third cousin from Tante Bobbe, from Tante Rachel's side." And he says, "Ah, yes, of course. And then the fellow continues, and he says, "I'm here for my bonus as well." And the question is, what did you do for the bonus? And he doesn't have anything to say. He didn't do anything. He doesn't know how to do what he's supposed to do. He's there by the good graces of Mr. Brodsky. So the marshal over here that's given, and that's used in this marshal, is that all of Yisrael has a chelek to Olam Haba, but it's so embarrassing to us here in this world when we're handed something and we can't explain that we deserve it because we're totally undeserving of it. Imagine the great busha in Olam Haba when we come there and we haven't done anything over here to cultivate that land, that chelek in Olam Haba. So that's an important thing for all of us to bear in mind. Why at this time? Because between Nisan and Sivan, the month of Iyar, is a month which is mesugal. It's specifically, it's a time to lay the groundwork for Kabbalah Satorah. You can't just take the Torah, begin to do mitzvos. It's like you're sowing in a place that's not going to allow for the seeds to grow. You try to plant some places in Kiryas Arba, some places in Hebron. It's very hard. You can't do anything with the land. You have to work very hard to till the soil, to prepare it for the receiving the seeds, for getting the plants to be able to produce and to grow. And so the month of Iyar is a month where we need to cultivate within ourselves the midos tovos that are necessary before the acceptance of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Of course, when you think about the mitzvahs of the Torah, the first thing that you can think about as far as primary, important mitzvahs, you look at the three cardinal averos. Let's stay away from that, first of all. The avodah zarah, arayas, and shfichas damim. To stay away from idolatry and from the illicit relationships and from committing murder. That doesn't mean necessarily killing somebody. Today that would mean embarrassing somebody publicly. It's in the same category. It's also Shvichas Damim. So the question is, why are those three so special, so unique, that the din is Yehoreg Val Yavor? All the mitzvahs of the Torah, the din is B'chai Bohem. You live by the mitzvahs of the Torah. You see Pikuach Nefesh, Toichah Shabbos as well. And by the way, not because it's more important than Shabbos. The Rishonim point out, it's Shabbos. Anything in the Torah is more important than us or our lives, because it's a command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even the smallest mitzvah or aveira is more important. But the Rabbeinu Shalom tells us in the Torah that we ought to live by His mitzvahs, and therefore, because of His command, Pikuach Nefesh overtakes, overrides the Isser of the Chilul of Shabbos. Well, these three aveiras, Gilei Arayis, Vichutam, and Avodah Zarah, they start all the way at the beginning of creation. So let's take a step back and see where we find these. In Gan Eden, Torah tells us in Bereishis that in Gan Eden, the Nochosh convinced Chava and Adam to go against, transgress the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To transgress the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's tantamount to idolatry. If that's the only mitzvah you have, don't eat from the tree, and you ignore that, you're slapping someone in the face when you just go exactly opposite his wishes. You just rebel against the Rabbanu Shalom. That's Avodah Zarah. So we see right at that moment all three Averos taking place. You see Avodah Zarah because of that, because the Nachash was Mesis Adam Arishon and caused him to disobey HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see that the Nochosh, the Medrash tells you the Nochosh had designs on Chava, whatever that means, we're not sure, but there is the element of Arayas over there. He pushed Chava to the tree. There's an element of Arayas there. And of course, there is the third, which is Shvichas Domim, because it brought about the end of a long existence, and it shortened the life of man. You know, if you shorten someone's life for even a second, you killed him. If someone is in the operating room and you decide, well, he doesn't have longer to go, so let's just stop it right now. It doesn't make a difference whether it's a question of quality of life. That's the expression that's used today by the medical profession. And many people, they're fooled into thinking that that's, well, let's just do that. It's not so push it. You have to ask Das Tyre. You have to see what in each situation must be done. And to shorten somebody's life, no matter by how short a time, is murder. It's outright murder. So you have over there the three Averos. That's, we see right at the beginning that you have those three cardinal sins. But after that happened, it continues. You see that Cain and Hevel. Cain kills Hevel. There you have murder. That's the Shvichas Domim. Afterwards you see the Dor Enosh. There you see the Dor Hamabel. In the Dor Hamabel, you see that they're trying to do anything and everything possible to upset the standard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set in the world, and it brought about illicit relationships, not just among the humans, but even among the animal kingdom. There you have Gilui Arayos. This is all in the beginning. This is all within the first years, as if you will, of the universe, of the world. And then, of course, you have the Dor Enosh. They build a tower. They're trying to go and combat the Rabbeinu Shalom. They want to fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avodah Zarah. Now remember, Rabbi Yoyin Sinebishitz, Zechrono Livracha, I believe he lived in the 1700s. If I'm wrong, then please correct me. And Rabbi Yoyin Sinebishitz writes in one of his Sforim, maybe in Teferes Yonason, he writes how the idea behind this was that they were thinking of building this tall structure and then ascending through some propulsion, and he uses these terms, some propulsion, some kind of a rocket propulsion, to get out of the atmosphere, through the stratosphere, up into space, and from there they plan to continue on and to eventually achieve and reach their goal, and to fight with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Of course, I wouldn't know what they're going to do when they get into space, how they're going to manage up there. But he begins by explaining it in this way. So clearly, there's a Avodah Zarah over here, first class Avodah Zarah. So that's how it continues, and this doesn't stop there. You go through the entire Torah, and you go through up until our own time today. You see that this is constantly repeated. Those are the three Averos that, if we're not careful, we get brought into them. in one form or another. You say, well, what do I have to do with Avodah Zarah? Or what do I have to do with Ritzicha? But I explained before that it takes different forms. The Rambam explains there are many different forms, and there's no one who is really free of any of these Averas completely. So we have to be constantly aware and have to constantly try to make sure that we're not transgressing these Averos as much as we can possibly do so. Of course, in order to combat this, there has to be an even balance. So we have in the world those giants, those who give reason for the world to continue to exist. And they are the Avos HaKadoshim, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov Avinu. And each one of them, as you study and as you look, you just see that each one of them, their lives are especially lived in order to combat one or all of these three cardinal Averos. Avraham Avinu, for example, teaching everybody about Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody has to... And he does it through Chesed. He does it in a unique way, through the Gemilas Chasodim. He does it to such an extent where he is the epitome of Chesed in the universe. Avraham Avinu, Chativo Achas Ba'olam. He is so unique down here, just like Rabban Shalom is unique above and beyond our realm. Avraham Avinu. And he's there to combat this Avera of Avodah Zarah, to make a tikkun, if you will, for Avodah Zarah Avera. Yitzchak Avinu, he takes and makes of himself a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know, can you not consider it as if he actually was shechted and burned on the Mizbeach? It's the same thing. He went through all the motions, he was ready, he was on the Mizbeach, he was tied down, and he was about to be shechted, you know, his heart went out. He was a korban. He gave his whole life. And Yitzchak is considered the one who, if you know, in the Midos that we have now, we're counting throughout the Sphira, we have Chesed and Gevura and Tiferes. Yitzchak, that's Gevura. Gevuras Yitzchak. That's the strength, the inner strength, to be able to give up all for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim. That's where we get it from today. We have that strength from our Avos. Mekadosh Shem Shamayim, to give up everything, your whole being. That's from Yitzchak. And that is, of course, because Yitzchak Avinu was here in the world to combat that Avera of Shfichas Damim. And then you have Yaakov Avinu, that's to combat Gilui Arayos, that's the Avera of Arayos. Well, you say, what did Yaakov Avinu have to do with the Tikkun of Gilui Arayos? You should be aware that Yaakov Avinu, when he had Reuven, the first child, remember the bracha of Reuven? He says, Reuven was Reishis Kochi. Reuven was the very first moment that Yaakov had any thoughts about anything of impurity, which is something that comes about in order to produce another human being. And Yaakov Avinu, at the age of 84, for 84 years, he is pure as you can be. And this is Yaakov Avinu, the one who is misaken this Avera of Arayas. So you have the Tata Yaakov. And of course, they accomplished it, as we pointed out before, through Avraham, through Chesed, and Yitzchak with Gevura and his control, and Yaakov Avinu with a blend of both, really. Because Tiferes represents Yaakov. Today is, in the sphere of counting, today is Netzach Shebe Tiferes. It's like the Nitzchius of Tiferes. Today is the epitome of Tiferes. Tiferes, that's a blend of Chesed and Gevura, because we can't live, the regular people like us, we cannot live by the law of only Chesed, pure Chesed. We're not capable. Avraham Avinu was capable. And we're not able to be completely purely an island by ourselves and be like, well, who was it? The Essenes, I believe, that were trying to, at least that's how it's written, recorded in history, they were trying to live such lives that were above and beyond the human scope. Of course, you see, that's where the whole Goyim cult gets their idea of the celibacy. You know, I don't know if it really fits over here at the moment, but there's the famous line about celibacy and how how this fellow goes over to a monastery for some rest and recreation. And he spends some time there, and everything is very quiet. And for 2 weeks he's there, and he feels rested. He's ready to go home. And before he leaves, he asks the abbot, and he says, I want to thank you, but I have a comment to make. He said, I noticed that all of the monks, they're busy copying. They're writing. That's what they do all day long. They don't talk, they write. He says, and what are they writing? They're writing these the holy words that they have handed down for their belief. He said, but you know, I noticed, I took a closer look, and they're copying from copies. He says, well, what if they make a mistake? Shouldn't they use the original to copy from? And the abbot says to him, well, he said, we've been doing this for hundreds of years now. And hundreds of years, he says, we haven't made a mistake. I don't see why you should imagine it. But nevertheless, I'll check. So he goes down into the vaults where the old manuscripts are kept, and he's there for hours. And this fellow gets worried, so he goes down looking for the abbot. And he comes into a dark little chamber, but there is a light, a candle burning on the table. There's an old dusty manuscript that's opened, and the abbot is banging his head into the wall. He's crying, we made a mistake. We made a mistake. We forgot the R. The word is celebrate. You know, when we think about the Avos HaKadoshim, and you think about a midah like Chesed from Avraham Avinu, but how does it translate to us today? How much of a Baal Chesed can we be? Of course, everybody can do the best that they can. You be the best that you can be. I don't know, in America, this is how they advertise for the army. You say, be the best you can be. Join the Marines. I don't know how it is over here in England. But so how can we be the best that we can be? I'll just give you a little insight into some individuals, some of the Gedolim. At least, I don't see that there's much time really to give you this example. I tell you one story. You must have heard, the whole world has heard of the Gadol by the name of Rav, but he wasn't called this, but his name was Rav Portugal, Zichron Tzadik Libracha. He was better known as the Skolena Rebbe, lived in New York, in Brooklyn. This, I'm talking about the one who was Nifter, the father of the one here today, the one who was Nifter. He told a story that when he was a child, he says he remembers his father was such a machnes oreach and such a baal tzedakah and such a baal chesed, and he was known as the avi yisoimim. He used to take in any time there was an orphan that needed some help. He would be there. He would be a father to them. And this, the Rebbe, the last one, tells that when he was a child, and his father had a room full of yisoimim in the poor quarters that he had. He didn't have much. It was a cold winter night, and they were all lying down on little cots, or some of them on the floor sleeping. And they had their thin blanket that their father could provide, the rough portrait that the Rebbe could provide for them. And he says, I remember that my father came over to me one night, in the middle of the night, and he gently sort of pulled the blanket off of me. And he walked over to another yosom. I woke up, and I see, and he goes and he covered the yosom. He covered one of the yosomim with the blanket. And I started saying, I said, Abba, I said, Dad, Tata. He says, well, I'm freezing, I'm cold. And he says, yes. He says, but you didn't see that Yosem over there. He was shivering. And I said, but Tata, I'm cold also. And he's crying to his father. He's a little child, he says. And my father answered me. He said, you at least have a father to cry to. He says, he doesn't have anybody to cry to. So he says, I learned chesed from my father. I learned what it means to give to someone else. And where does it come from? This all comes from Avraham Avinu, who was the chesed par excellence. He was the epitome of chesed. And so it is with everything, with the ability throughout the ages to be moiser nefesh, akidosh Hashem. We get that from Yitzchak Avinu, and so on and so forth. Now, each of us has the ability to choose. Nobody is being forced to make a decision on anything in life. That's a very, very major understanding throughout the Torah. The Rambam, as a matter of fact, talks about those people who consider that maybe that we're predestined to do certain things. He says, you're not predestined to do anything. And he calls them by the term goylom. He says, those goylomim who think this way, they're so totally wrong in their thinking. Because everyone can choose what he wants to do. The only problem is, how do you choose? I mean, you know, thinking about it, just, you know, we know ourselves. We know that sometimes we have such a strong desire. You know, the cigarettes, for example. You have people who smoke, they can understand this, who did smoke cigarettes. And those who didn't would never understand it. It's a strong taiva, it's a strong desire that you have. But where does it come from? I believe it was the Chazon Ish, or the Chofetz Chaim, Zichrono Livracha, who said, Chilosei begaiva, besoifei betaiva. The beginning is with gaiva. You let yourself just begin, and now the Tahara has got you. He's got you where he wants you. So, who made the decision to begin? You did. So if you don't make the wrong decision, and you have the ability to make decisions which will elevate you to the status of Moshe Rabbeinu, Zok the Chofetz Chaim. And it's up to us to do so. Rav Chana Wasserman in the Kovetz Ma'amorim explains in the Pasuk of Shleih HaMelech, he says in Mishlei, Libi ro harbe chochma. My heart has seen much wisdom. And the question was, what do you mean my heart sees wisdom? My brain, my mind, my logic, my rationale. What's up with my heart? The heart is feeling, it's emotion. And he goes to an explanation showing that it's the feeling of the heart that guides the mind into justifying whatever you want. And the more brilliant you are, you could be an Aristotle, and you still could be the worst kind of an individual because your brilliant mind will justify for you, this is the way it should be. I think that this week is Perek Gimel in Perkei Avos, Masechet Avos. And in Perek Gimel, Kavi B'Malal Aloymer, he says, look at three things, Ve'enata Bo, Lidei Aveiro. It's a very strange expression. Lidei Aveiro? You don't end up doing an Aveira. What's happens? You don't come into the hands, into the clutches of Aveira. Because once you come into the clutches of Aveira, then the more that someone tries to dissuade you and to show you how you're wrong, the more stubborn you'll become. The more you'll think that you're doing a big mitzvah, and you'll never get out of it. I'll tell you, there's a mashal. A fellow comes into... A fellow comes into Olam HaEmes, and he's before the heavenly court, and they see that there's nothing positive about this fellow. All of his life, everything he's done, is just leads in the downward direction over here. And what should they do? What should they do? And they're looking for Malachim to find schus for him, and nobody finds anything. Finally, they asked him, the person himself. They said, "Can't you think of something good that you didn't you ever do a mitzvah?" He says, "Oh yes," he says, "I did a mitzvah once." They said, "What was the mitzvah?" So he says, "Well, I was once in a shul. It was a Shabbos. And I was sitting there minding my own business." He wasn't davening. He was just sitting there. Okay, that's very nice. He was talking every once in a while. Otherwise, coming to shul would have been a mitzvah also. And he was sitting there. And then he heard the gabbai say about the Baal Tefillah. And so he said to the Baal Tefillah, he said, "Ach, what a terrible Baal Tefillah. It would be a mitzvah if somebody would give him toothpicks and throw him out of here. I got the mitzvah." People fool themselves into thinking that what they're doing is correct. But it's all our own choice. I'm afraid that we're at the end of the line over here. You have to go at 9 o'clock, right? I'm going to just get to the bottom line over here, just to conclude. These mitzvahs that we try to fulfill and perform, they have to be done with a certain amount of devotion, and that devotion stems from our roots. And that's probably why we're learning Masechta Avos, because Avos are the roots. But in Kabbalah, they say that there are four Ragli HaMerkava. There are four solid feet of the Merkava. Again, whatever that means, I don't know. But it means it's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about all the goodness into this world through this. Who are these four Ragli HaMerkava? They are Rohom, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Rochel Imenu. And, of course, we talked about Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and very briefly, you know that Rochel Imenu was the one who devoted everything for her sister. She gave up everything, more so than just somebody giving up their own life. Because Rachel wanted desperately, more than anything, to be the one to take Leah's place, to be the one to begin and to have as many children for Klal Yisrael as she possibly could. And she gave that up. She gave the simonim to her sister to prevent her sister from having the embarrassment. You can't think of a better example of dedication and devotion to your fellow human being. And we learn that from her. And by the way, you see that that spells Ior, is Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Rochel. That's the month of Ior. This is the month in which we have to cultivate and to develop those good midos that we learn from our Avos in order to be able to achieve and reach the time of Matan Torah and be makabel the Torah b'ahava, because once you have that fertile ground that's ready, then all the seeds of the mitzvos will certainly produce wonderful fruit for us in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Habo. Thank you.